I think it's safe to say most people have seen the I Want You, Uncle Sam poster. It inspired many to join the war effort in World War I. More than 100 years later, AFA Action needs your help to fight a war that rages in our culture. To answer the call to action, please sign up for Action Alerts today, and if you would, give to AFA Action so we can stay on the front lines. You'll get the Christian Handbook for Civic Engagement as our thanks. Visit AFAaction.net today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you're having a great morning and a great beginning of the week. Well, I had mentioned yesterday, if you're listening yesterday, you know that I talked about the difference between coincidences, things that happen, and the providence of God. As my Sunday school teacher, when I was newly married, Rocky Alexander said, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in the providence of God. As Jesus said, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except by your Father. God knows everything. He's in charge of everything. He allows certain things to come into our lives, but He is over it all. And where man rules, God overrules. And even as Martin Luther said, even the devil is the Lord's devil. And so He is over all things. Well, I shared a little bit about the girl Janessa that came all the way from Tennessee to be with us last Sunday, just a couple of days ago. And I didn't know a lot about her story until she emailed me. We took a picture together and I asked her on Sunday. I said, now here's my card, here's my email address. Please email that to me because I'd like to have a copy of it, picture that she and Debbie and I took together. Well, she sent it to me yesterday afternoon along with her testimony. And I just thought this was so great. It's so encouraging. It just shows that God knows everything about us, and He is intimately, as it says in Psalm 139, He's intimately acquainted with all our ways. Now, to give you a backdrop of this, I immediately thought of Psalm 13. Some years ago, I preached on Psalm 13. I called it, When God Seems a Million Miles Away. I think we can all relate to that, where God just doesn't seem very close to us. And Psalm 13 is a psalm of David. David, a man after God's own heart. And David had the same experience, where God seemed far away from him. And he says in Psalm 13, just six verses, How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. I think it's the New Living Translation that says, Give me light in the darkness, lest I die. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. And then he shifts gears. He starts to look up, and he says this, But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. He makes a choice to sing to the Lord, even though God seems far away, because He has dealt bountifully with me. All right, so that's the backdrop for Janessa's testimony, and she said I could share this, but she says this, I decided to write about the way God helped me on Sunday, just 2 days ago. I didn't think or expect to meet the pastor of a big church, but I realized how God is the one teaching, and by teaching the pastor so he can teach his people. I'm grateful for that. So on Friday, I bought a ticket to Texas for Saturday morning. I bought it out of desperation, both for escape and looking for hope somehow. I didn't even know. I thought about moving for a year to take a break and find something different and different people and maybe be able to learn more truth, more real truth somehow. So many questions. I'm not sure what I thought I could find in one church service in Texas. But I guess when you're desperate, you can try anything. So she flew from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Dallas, Texas, rented a car, and drove the 2.5-3 hours to get to Texarkana. So she said, on the drive to church from Dallas, I started thinking about it. What am I looking for? What do I even need or want? What kind of help could I possibly get in a single service that I couldn't get online? That's how she knew about From His Heart Ministries and First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, because she watched on YouTube, and the Lord was using the messages to minister to her. She said, I knew I couldn't really ask anyone for help there. I didn't know a single person besides the pastor from videos. So I said to God, I don't know what I'm doing. Just help me some way. I wanted something apart from feelings because I couldn't trust that to be real anymore. I didn't know if God had helped me so much before or I was just disillusioned. So I started praying, Lord, you know I'm shy, but extra frozen now. So please send me someone. And I said, order my steps so I sit next to the right person. I said, let me see some way that I matter and that you see me specifically and not ignoring, and you're not ignoring my pain. Please do something to let me see that I am special and that you really love me even now and that women are valuable too, because I need someone to really see us that way, and I know that you do. Let me hear something in the message that is just for me. Maybe let someone introduce me to talk to the pastor and get prayer or encouragement, or maybe even sit by someone who will ask me to lunch with them. I knew that would be crazy, but if God wants to organize it, he can. Just someone, even though I don't know how. And he answered all those prayers. So this is what happened, as I told you. So she's praying all this stuff. And she has things going on in her life. She didn't go into detail about that. But, you know, obviously she did tell me, she said, you know, I don't feel close to the Lord. And so that's why I mentioned Psalm 13. She felt like God was a million miles away, and he used to be close and used to be involved, but now he's not. And a lot of us can relate to that. So she comes to the church service. She doesn't know a soul. She walks in, doesn't know where to go. We had, I think, in the worship center that morning, we had 1,500 people. So she walks down toward the front, about four rows from the front, and she sees this lady sitting there, and she says, is the seat next to you taken? And the lady said, no, please come sit here. And so she sits down, very shy, and the person she sat down with, Glenna, very, very friendly, very sweet, such a godly, wonderful lady. And so she begins to talk to her. She says, you know, are you a visitor? And she said, well, I'm not from here. I'm from Tennessee. I came from Tennessee. I, you know, watched Pastor Jeff on YouTube and wanted to come. And she said, oh, that's great. And she said, you know, I didn't even know if I could even meet him. She goes, oh, yeah, you can meet him. And so I come into the service about 5 minutes before we start, and Glenna calls me over. Glenna's been a good friend for years and a big supporter of our church and From His Heart Ministries. And so she said, Jeff, she said, you need to meet Janessa. She is here from Tennessee. She watches you online. And so I got to meet her, and we said, hello, I'm glad you're here. And then I preached that morning on the woman at the well. And I mentioned this in the sermon. I said, you know, Jesus came specifically a divine appointment for this woman. He came to the well of Jacob's well at Sychar, and he came for the woman. And she was the first person, this immoral woman, the woman that he said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you've had five husbands. The one you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. And so, she was an immoral woman, a Samaritan, a half-breed. The Jews have no dealings with Samaritan, an immoral woman. And Jesus came for her. And I said to the congregation, I said, if Jesus came for her and revealed himself openly as the Messiah, she was the first one he ever revealed himself openly as the Messiah to. He didn't do that to Nicodemus. I mean, he would speak around it, but remember, he would say often, you know, do a miracle, don't tell anybody. Why? Because my time has not yet come. It was the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, where he comes into Jerusalem, where he presents himself openly as the Messiah, and they say to him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, from Psalm 118. Those are messianic references, and the Pharisees were going bonkers. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said, I tell you the truth, if these remain silent, the stones will cry out. So she comes that Sunday, where I spoke specifically about, hey, you may feel ostracized, you may feel covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin, you may feel shame, you may feel guilt, but God loves you. And you can rest in that. And if God came for the Samaritan, immoral Samaritan woman, the Lord came for you too. And so it was just perfect for her. And so she sits next to Glenna. Out of all the people she could sit next to, she sits next to Glenna. And we had a lunch appointment with Glenna after church. And I've known Glenna for a long time. And been involved with the heartaches that she's experienced in life, the loss of her son, the loss of her mother, the loss of her husband. And we had a lunch appointment. We've never gone to lunch with her before. We set it up a week ago that we would go to lunch with her after church. And so she just happens to sit next to Glenna. Glenna recognizes, hey, there's something going on here. She invites Janessa to lunch. And so here is Janessa. She comes not knowing anybody. She just walks in. God leads her to Glenna Talbot, and Glenna shares with her about me, and she meets me, and Debbie and I take a picture with her, and then I have a time of prayer with her and let her know that it's not an accident. She was here, and you know, she was just blown away. And so she says, you know, this day, it didn't solve everything in my life, but I knew this day that God treated me as someone special, and he let me see it. Like what you said, Jeff, about the woman of Samaria, and the people around me treated me so nicely. One lady got my name written down and said, I can know that there's a lady in Texas praying for me, although she didn't know me. Janessa said, crazy, all the events that took place together with the message. God didn't leave any room for doubt. That he was answering me, that he is faithful to me, even when I'm weak and wrong, that he loves me and is there when I call and didn't give me up. And he let me see real hope, real love from his heart. We always say real truth, real love, real hope from his heart. That's part of the song. And she said, he let me see that. So even with the pain, I can know that for sure and always remember. I guess I shouldn't have doubted it to that extent, but I'm glad the Lord rescued me. Even in a faith crisis, when I just couldn't take any more. Thank you for teaching the truth. I'm really grateful to see how God can work through a family of God, even with strangers. And it's like we are not even strangers. I never expected to meet Jeff Shreve. Haha, not at all. But it was so cool. I am thankful for people with the eternal mindset doing the best they can with God and his purpose as their priority. So what a great testimony. Hey, I just had to share that. I read that. She sent it to me yesterday evening about 4:30 or 4 o'clock, something like that. And I just had tears in my eyes as I read that because it was such an answer to prayer. It was God orchestrating everything in direct answer to her prayer to let her know that she matters. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, it's easy to believe the lie from the devil that you don't matter, but you do. You do matter. And it's easy to think that God has forgotten your name, your address, your phone number, all your contact information, that he's put you on the shelf somewhere. He hasn't. He's intimately acquainted with all your ways. He knows what's going on. And he knows that you're hurting. And so bring your hurts to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Humble yourself under his mighty hand that he may exalt you at the proper time and trust him. And even when he feels a million miles away, as David said, but I have trusted in your loving kindness, in your hesed, the Hebrew word hesed, your loyal love. It's used over and over and over again in the Old Testament. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. If you belong to Jesus, rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, that my name is recorded in heaven, that I belong to you. I will sing to the Lord. Singing is a great antidote toward depression. So fill your heart with the praises of the Lord. And remember that he has dealt bountifully with you. Even when things are tough, God is still good. And if you, I've said this many times before, if you'll etch into your heart, God loves me and God is good and I can trust him no matter what, you can get through any difficulty that life can throw at you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about the issues of the day. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we want to talk about what has transpired in the last 24 hours. We've had the big news with Donald Trump and Elon Musk. They had a long interview. I read where it was 2 hours or so. I don't know if you watched it all. I've watched or listened to some of it. But Elon Musk posted combined views of the conversation with at Real Donald Trump and subsequent discussion by other accounts, now total about 1 billion. And so somebody had posted, you know, the mainstream media can no longer control the narrative because you have a guy like Elon Musk who is committed to free speech. And he had the interview with Trump. They talked about a lot of different things. You know, they go for 2 hours, so it is no holds barred, so to speak, and talk about whatever. It's very easy to listen to. It's just like sitting down with two friends, and they're just kind of talking about this, talking about that. It wasn't from what I haven't listened to all of it, but from the part I did listen to, you know, it's not combative. It's not, you know, a nasty interview or just trying to hit you with gotcha questions or anything like that. But the point is, a billion people have seen some of it or listened to some of it and are, you know, they're thinking about this. Okay, what does Trump have to say about this? What does Trump have to say about that? Now, I posted the other day on Facebook. I said, listen, I think I talked about this on the program. You may find Trump to be the most repugnant person in the world, but, you know, what is he like as a leader? What was the country like when he was president? I mean, were we at war everywhere? Were we rounding up African Americans and putting them in prison, as Joe Biden said he's going to put you all back in chains? No, none of that happened. Somebody posted and said, you know, Europe was all worried about this conversation Elon Musk was going to have with Donald Trump, and said, you know, what has changed? Nothing has changed. You know, it's not like London has fallen or Paris has fallen because of that conversation. So all this fear-mongering is just ridiculous. And so that's a big deal because any honest person has to point out, Kamala Harris doesn't do interviews. She hasn't done an interview yet. And she is she's the cover of Time Magazine, as you heard at the top of the hour. But she didn't do an interview with Time Magazine, so they're just propping her up, putting her out there. It's kind of like the movie. If you ever saw the movie, I saw it on an airplane years ago, and they took out all the bad language. So I thought it was a good movie until I heard, well, gosh, if you watch the unedited version, it's awful because there's so much cussing in it. But it was called Wag the Dog, where it was all Dustin Hoffman was in it, and it was all about these propagandists trying to create this fake war and putting everything in front of green screen and trying to make you think that this is really happening when it was all just contrived. Well, that's what we see taking place. You know, they add in people at the airport terminal there or when her Kamala Harris plane lands, they put in all these AI generated people that are cheering. Well, they're not really there. It's just sickening. I have zero tolerance for lies and deceit, and it's just sickening. Hey, If you have better ideas, then put forth your ideas. And let's start, you know, evaluating people based on their ideas, based on how they govern, based on their record, and take out all the personal assaults and slurs and insults. And let's just look, okay, well, you're painting a picture for America, and you're painting a picture for America, a vision. This is what you elect me to office. This is what America is going to be like. This is the direction we're going. Or the other candidate says, no, if you elect me, this is what it'll be like. But listen, you can't say, you know, we're going to defund the police and everything is going to be more law abiding. Well, that isn't going to work. You know, defund the police is, I mean, that's a page out of the devil's playbook to bring havoc and chaos. And I was talking to somebody the other day, they live in Austin, Texas, and she said, yeah, we love living in Austin. And I said, I was told that if you have a problem in Austin, don't call the police, because they ain't coming. And she said, well, that's true. You know, in Texarkana, Texas, you have a problem, the police are coming. Now, our police have been decimated because of what's gone on in the country and all the difficulties police officers have and how people have risen up against the police. And do you have some bad apples in the police? Yeah, you have bad apples in everything. In every walk of life, you have some pastors that shouldn't be pastors, some doctors that shouldn't be doctors. You have, you know, teachers that can be bad teachers. So you have bad apples in everything. But the core of the law enforcement community, I know a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys go to our church. They're solid guys. They're good guys. They want to do a good job. They want to protect and serve. And so defund the police, what went on in Minnesota with Black Lives Matter riots and all that stuff. Nobody wants that. Well, I guess some people do, but no sane thinking person would want that kind of disruption and chaos. And so look at the record. The record matters. So we have that in the news today. We have Jerusalem in the news. I always do a Twitter search, X search on what is going on. What are people talking about? Well, they're talking about Jerusalem, and you may have seen the picture where thousands of Jews gathered at the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall, as they began to pray. You know, Iran is poised to attack them, and the Jews have a special day on the calendar, a special time on the calendar called Tish B'Av, and Tisha B'Av, what is it? Tisha is the month, and Bav, Tisha B'Av, that's it. And it's the fifth month on the Hebrew calendar, and it's, you know, the Hebrew calendar is lunar for months and solar for years. And so it's different from ours. It starts around March and April, the first of Nisan. That's the first month of the Hebrew calendar. And then the fifth month is Av, which means father. And that's July, August to August, September, just depending. Well, they have this special date on the calendar where they fast and pray. And it's a day to remember the destruction of the temple. You know, they've had two temples destroyed. The first temple was destroyed in 586 BC by Nebuchadnezzar, and it was horrible. It was awful. The Book of Lamentations is all about the anguish and pain that Jeremiah experienced as he watched Jerusalem fall to the Babylonians. So that came in 586 BC. Then in 70 AD, you had the second temple that was built by Herod, destroyed by the Romans. General Titus came in and destroyed the second temple, and there's not been another temple since that day, 70 AD. Now, we know because Jesus came in 30 AD, 29, you know, 3.5 year ministry. He was crucified April 3rd, 33 AD, according to Dr. Harold Honer, who did all the research on the exact date. And, you know, in less than 40 years, Jerusalem and their whole religious system was gone, because once the temple was gone, there were no more sacrifices. And when Jesus died upon the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, showing that there is now no more. The priesthood is over, because Jesus is our high priest, not according to Aaron, but according to Melchizedek. And so the whole thing was fulfilled in Jesus, so there was no more need for sacrifices or anything like that. And so the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Well, they come together for this special time to commemorate, to pray, to fast, and they are all thinking about what is going on with Iran. The enemies of the Jews are, you know, they're just surrounded by Islamic countries who hate them. Why do the Islamic countries hate the Jews? It's because that's a false religion, and it's fueled by Satan. Satan hates the Jewish people. He hates Israel. He hates God's people, the Christians. Why does he hate Israel so much? Because God has made promises to Israel that will be fulfilled. And anybody who goes up against Israel, you may win a battle or two, but you're going to lose the war, because God will defend his people. And Jesus is one day going to rule and reign the whole world from Jerusalem. And so you and I can rest assured. But between now and then, we need to pray. And the Bible tells us, Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we desperately need to do that and stand in the gap for them, as all these threats of attack from Iran come, and as some have said, hey, we're right at the precipice of World War III if this thing really escalates out of control. So that is in the news, what's going on in Jerusalem. Fauci was in the news. Dr. Fauci, again, he has COVID. He has been vaccinated and boosted out of his own mouth 6 times. And somebody put together a little montage of people praising him, Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi, and then Fauci saying in 2001 that you can't get COVID if you've been vaccinated. And then a recent clip of him saying, hey, I got COVID again. Listen to it.
Dr. Fauci, thank you for everything you are, everything you do. Tell America why they need to get vaccinated when it is their time and turn.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected, whether they're outdoors or indoors. That's the bottom line of that, because I represent science. I got infected about 2 weeks ago. It was my third infection, and I had been vaccinated and boosted a total of 6 times.
But Dr. Fauci is a truth teller. He's science, knowledge.
Well, Dr. Fauci is anything but a truth teller. And listen, I can understand when the medical community and science are saying, hey, we're trying this, we're going to see if this works. But when you make these strong claims that you can't get COVID when you get the vaccine, that's just not true. And don't make statements like that if you don't know the answer to that. If you don't know 2 + 2 = 4, say, you know, this is our best protocol right now, but we'll see. But the problem with that is nobody would get the vaccine if you didn't have those definitive statements. You get this and you are set. You're not going to get COVID. Well, it's a bunch of baloney. You know, I've said a lot of times on this program, safe and effective. Those are the two things about any kind of vaccine, any kind of medicine. You know, what's this going to do to me? Is it safe? Is it effective? So if it's effective, but it's not safe, if the side effects are potentially worse than the disease, don't take it. Or if it's safe, but it's not effective, what's the point? So you can take a drug that, okay, it doesn't have any side effects, it's not going to hurt you, but then the question is, well, is it going to help me? Because if it doesn't hurt me, but it doesn't help me, then I just as soon not take anything. And so safe and effective. The COVID vaccine has been proven to not be effective and to not be safe for lots and lots and lots of people. And we need to be innocent as doves and shrewd as serpents, and judge, as Jesus said, do not judge by appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. And so we need to pray that God would give us discernment. Solid food, Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now listen, as you spend time with the Lord, as you spend time in His Word, as you let the Word of God just filter through your mind constantly, as the Lord said to Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do it. We don't want to be forgetful hearers. We want to be effectual doers. But listen, if you will train your mind to think in terms of Scripture, if you will filter everything through, with the Scripture, when something comes along, like the COVID vaccine or something like that, your senses will be trained. You know, we talk about Spider-Man, who had those spidey senses. He could just tell when something was off. That's what it's like when you're practicing with the Word of God. Your senses are trained to kind of smell a rat. You're able to discern between good and evil. This is good. This is not. This, you hear something in a sermon, perhaps, and you say, that doesn't sound right. Something's not right with that. You may not know what it is, but you just are able to discern. Now, my wife has the spiritual gift of discernment, and she is able to just kind of have a sense that something's not right. She meets somebody, and she'll just tell me, and she's done this our whole marriage. She say, be careful with those people. There's something not right about them. I was like, well, Debbie, what is it? She said, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you, there's something that's not right. Her senses were trained, and God's given her a spiritual ability to kind of sense when things are off. And so I don't make a move in terms of hiring people or anything like that until Debbie gives me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, because she has a sixth sense for those things. God has given her that ability. So you may not know what's wrong with it. You just know something is wrong with it. Well, that is important, and you and I can have that as we spend time in the Word of God. And the naive believes everything, but the prudent checks it out. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are close to a break, and so just wanted to let you know, as our practice, we have the last segment of the program open to calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. Lots going on in our world, but the Lord, He sat as King at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as King forever. We can trust Him no matter what, and we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as He commands us to do, the author and perfecter of faith. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are talking about a host of things. We started off talking about the fact that God is over all things. And when God seems a million miles away, you and I can just know by faith that he's not. You know, Jesus said to us, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And so even when God seems like he's abandoned us, just know that he hasn't, and know that we can trust him, and know that he will exalt us as we humble ourselves before him. He will exalt us at the proper time. Well, I'm opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, love to talk to you. And we have Joel on the line from Texas. Joel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you for answering my call. I appreciate it.
Yes,
first
sir.
First-time caller.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
First-time listener.
Well, I'm glad about that.
My question is the consideration of the martial law that could potentially take place after the if Trump is reelected, and then they go into the chaos building. Now, they've already done a pretty good job with the chaos, but this is where cities burn and everything else. Of those democratic states where they just riot, and then they go into martial law, and then all of a sudden there is no longer an election because Biden and Kamala will be in place because of martial law. Has that been looked into, and is there a prevention of it?
Yeah, now, great question, Joel. I don't know. I'm sure somebody's looked into that. I don't know on that. I don't know how that would work. I think everything's on the table. Here's my take, and this is my opinion. You know, AFR and AFA are, you know, they typically say, hey, just because a radio host says something, that doesn't mean that AFR, AFA is in lockstep with that. And so I just think that you have people in power that are so committed to staying in power that they will do anything to not lose power. And so everything is on the table. And I don't know what that would be. That could easily trigger a civil war in America if that took place. You know, we have typically, and since the founding of the country, had the peaceful transfer of power that happens, you know, when the new president comes in. So I don't know. That could happen. You know, that's in, we trust the Lord. We just say, okay, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to shine and share. Help us to stand up for the truth, to speak the truth in love. And to stand on the side of righteousness, you know, the question, who is on the Lord's side that Moses posed to the people, we need to be on the Lord's side and just trust him with the outcomes there. So good question. There might be somebody listening that knows the answer to that, but that could definitely trigger lots of problems in our nation and lots of unrest and people doing things that would be horrific. So I don't know. I'll try and get you an answer to that, Joel. But thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the program and calling in today. We have Joanne on the line from Texas. Joanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Joanne, are you there?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Go ahead, Joanne.
So what I wanted to comment on was Pastor talking about, he was bringing up about the discussion about COVID vaccinations and how they might not be safe and there might be more danger in taking it than in not. And being that I don't believe he's a physician, I really don't think he should be discussing medical issues like this. I mean, it's a very important issue.
Yeah. So you think it's safe?
I do believe they're safe, and I mean, they've saved a whole lot of people, especially when they first came out in the beginning. My son's a physician, and I hear all kinds of wonderful things. And even in the beginning, when COVID first came out, you know, started the shots and COVID, and you know, there's a lot of people that have been saved because of the vaccinations.
Yeah.
And he's a medical doctor. He's in the ER. He's helping all these patients, you know. He's a lung specialist. And, I mean, he knows. He's in the field. He's in the medical field.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people in the medical field that would disagree with that, right? You know that. Right?
Well, I can't imagine that. I mean, my son's actually in that field, you know, working with pulmonary patients and has, you know, COVID patients, you know, that the elderly that had other underlying, a lot of times there's other underlying conditions, you know, that where the patients don't do well and they got a bad report that, you know, they blamed it on the vaccination when it was something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how many times have you gotten the shot?
Four times.
Yeah. Well, I played that clip from Dr. Fauci who said that if you get the COVID vaccine, you're not going to get COVID, and yet he's been vaccinated six times and had COVID three times. And so my point was, you know, is it effective? Well, it's obviously not a vaccine that keeps you from getting that. You know, the polio vaccine, I don't know very many people that take the polio vaccine and then get polio. But he's gotten injected six times and yet has gotten COVID three times. That, I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem very effective to me. And it's the opposite of what he said earlier in 2001, that if you get the COVID vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. So that's my sense of effectiveness. And there's lots of stuff online. You know, they've had to pull the COVID vaccine in places in Europe because they said this is causing blood clots. It's causing, I mean, myocarditis is a big issue. And I think it's hard to get around the fact that, you know, you would say, well, no, COVID has nothing to do with that, because there's lots of data that says that it does. And so that's my point. But we'll probably just agree to disagree. And but I appreciate you calling in, Joanne, with that. And I appreciate you listening to the program. And you're right. I am a doctor, but not a medical doctor. So I always tell my family that, you know, I'm not that kind of doctor. And they say, yes, we know. So anyway, but I appreciate you calling in. And may God bless you. And so you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and not everybody is going to agree on certain things. You know, there are controversial things. Not everybody agrees. Solid Christians, we talked yesterday, as it relates to Calvinism, not everybody agrees on that. Well, that doesn't mean that we can't be in fellowship with one another. You know, there are spine issues that are critical. That, you know, if we differ on who Jesus is, you know, you say he's some kind of glorified man, and I say he's creator God, that's a spine issue. That's a heaven or hell issue. You can't, the Jesus of the liberal who is not God can't save you. As Paul said, told the Corinthians, you've believed in another Jesus whom we've not preached, and that other Jesus can't save you. So that's a spine issue. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, bodily rose again from the dead. A spine issue. Some people say, well, it wasn't a bodily resurrection. It was a spiritual resurrection. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. And Paul said, you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, hey, guess what? You're still in your sins. You know, a dead Savior can't save anybody. And so spine issue. Rib issues. I heard Jenna Ellis say that she's a pre-tribulation rapturist. Well, that's what I am too, a dispensational view of eschatology. I have that view too, but there are those that don't have that view. That's not a spine issue. That's a rib issue. We can agree to disagree on that. When it comes to the COVID vaccine, you might think, hey, it's the best thing in the world. And if you've only had four shots, though, you might want to get some more. I don't think it's good at all. I think anytime, you know, life hack, if everybody is pushing it, mainstream media, the pharmaceutical companies, They put pressure on the hospitals. Hospitals put pressure on all their employees. You got to get it. You got to push this. When they start lying about you get hit by a bus, they were saying, well, we're going to test you for COVID. No, you died of COVID. Well, I think I'm dead because I got hit by a bus. I don't think COVID had anything to do with it. And they've even come out and said, yeah, we kind of fudged the numbers on that. We called things COVID deaths when they weren't COVID deaths. When mainstream media is pushing it, when the pharmaceutical companies are pushing it, when the late night talk show hosts are pushing it, when they're paying you to get a vaccine, when they're just putting so much pressure, you know, hey, we'll pay you to get this vaccine. Oh, that didn't work. Now we're going to threaten you with your job. As I said earlier, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That should trigger your senses that something is not right with this. Why, if it's so great, it sells itself. You don't have to put so much pressure on people to do it. And this idea that, the unvaccinated are the ones that are killing grandma and all that stuff. Well, that just wasn't true. And it's proven to not be true. And I've talked to a lot of people who say, one of my big regrets in the last, 3 or 4 or 5 years has been getting the COVID shot. I got that because I was told that I needed to get that. Now I wish I hadn't gotten it. But anyway, we can disagree on that. It's not a fellowship breaker. Well, we have Paul on the line from Texas. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I wanted to have a comment on COVID. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, good. COVID basically is the SARS virus. And with a new name, it's kind of designed to confuse people. SARS virus came over here from China the first time in 2008 and 2009. If you look it up, it's COVID is just an acronym for coronavirus 19, the 19th iteration of the SARS virus. Uh-huh. So there are a lot of people that got the SARS virus 2008-2009, are immune to what is called today COVID, but they use the term COVID to muddy the waters and make it not clear that this has been around before. A lot of people are already immune to it. Their immune systems have maintained immunity and don't need anything. But there are all these other issues with the so-called vaccines, as you've been pointing out. Even the CEO of one of the vaccine houses said, well, we knew that it wasn't going to prevent your getting it or spreading it. So, there were so many lies that were told at the outset on that regard. Mm-hmm. So I think you're doing a good service here by bringing these things up to people that may not be aware of them.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Second issue, as you mentioned, the Jewish calendar, and said that it was a lunar calendar. It is not a lunar calendar. There are three different kinds of calendars. We use a Gregorian calendar, which is based on a Roman calendar. It's a solar year and it ignores the moon. The second kind of calendar is a lunar calendar. The lunar day month always has 29 days and change, a few hours, mm-hmm. minutes. Never has 30. So, as an example, and it also ignores the sun. The Islamic calendar basically is a lunar calendar. It's always 11 days short of the mm-hmm. solar calendar. That's why their months will move throughout the year. They're never going to be in the same season over a couple of years' time. And third type of calendar is a lunisolar calendar,
right,
which is what God gave to Moses, and it accounts for both the sun and the moon.
Right.
And the way they accommodate that, every month will start with a new moon, or it's dark, and in the middle of the month is a full moon.
Right.
And it's reflected in the feast days. So some years they'll have 355 days, and the next year they'll have 384, 385 days.
Right.
So they do that by having a leap month.
And right.
That's exactly right, Paul. Yeah, it's a lunisolar calendar, so it's lunar for the months, it's solar for the years, and they have to make up. It's 12 months, 354 days, then an extra month added every 2 to 3 years to make up the ground there. But good points, and I appreciate you calling in, Paul. Appreciate you adding that, because it was good what you had to say. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's a joy to get to speak to you every morning. And tomorrow we're going to be talking to gospel recording artist Larnell Harris. You've probably heard some songs by Larnell. He's been at First Baptist Texarkana before. Great singer and just a great guy. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. Pastor Jeff here. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.